Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Cody and Gold.
It's time to talk with the guy who led the American League in hits for two straight seasons.
Merrifield drives one to deep left. Guzman to the fence. And gone with Merrifield.
And hasn't missed a game since Gold was working in Boise.
I'll tell you what, if you guys keep bringing golf up, this is going to turn into a golf show real quick.
Welcome to the Whit Merrifield Show.
Whit Merrifield Show, presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com, the ultimate in stress-free car shopping. Let's get right into it. A 6-3 road trip for the Royals, still in first place in the AL Central, the best winning percentage in all of baseball, and plenty to talk about with Whit. Whit, good to have you on the show again, man. Welcome back to KC after a nice little road trip.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great to be back. 10-day road trip that didn't really feel like a 10-day road trip based on what past years have felt like. We were talking yesterday after a game, even though we lost. I can't remember the last time we went on a road trip and came back, you know, winning 6 out of the 9 games. So pretty excited about how the trip went. Obviously, would have liked to have won that series in Minnesota, but got a big week coming up here at home.
Whit, I know it starts with Minnesota, but I was looking at this month kind of like moving day of the Masters is the way I was putting it. You just do nothing but face divisional opponents. It's Cleveland, it's Chicago, it's Detroit, it's Minnesota. How are you guys doing this month, especially because you're coming off such a great April, but also because you know this month is nothing but divisional opponents, the most important for you?
Yeah, it's good. It's a big one. It's a big month, and we got to play in a lot of good teams, and those teams happen to be in our division. So we got to play some good baseball and got to win some games. This is a big month for us, and you know, we've been doing a pretty good job at finding ways to win, and we're looking to keep that trend going this for the rest of this season, hopefully, but starting with this month.
We've talked to you a bunch just about like where this team is at and your feeling on how you guys are playing. And I know you've said the last couple of weeks you still feel like that there's plenty of room for growth for your play despite seeing you guys sit there in first place in the AL Central. I know defense is one of those areas I think maybe we as fans take for granted and just assume, hey, this is going to be the strength for you guys. How frustrating has it been for you to see some of the defensive issues the last week or so?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to ever, you know, make any defensive mistakes, especially when you get a pitcher out there pitching as well as our staff has. So it's something that we've got to continue to improve on. It's a big part of our game, and we got to be better at it. So it's something we can do. We got guys that are really good defenders, and it's just something that we've got to continue to work at and get better at. And we know we can. It's just I think as a whole, not played, you know, the best defense that we know we can play.
Whit, I've always found you to be a really accountable player. I think people were talking about that a few weeks ago when you felt like you came up short in an offensive possession and talked a lot about it in the postgame about how you yourself needed to be better. I saw your parents and your family was out at the game last week, and is that something that comes from your dad, your mom? Like the hold myself accountable or to a higher standard stuff? Like, I know sometimes that develops over. Think you got that trait?
It's just something I think that has come from a little bit of both of them. I've just always been raised and been taught that, you know, you can point fingers all you want, but it's at the end of the day, it's on you to be better. And if you can't hold yourself accountable, then it's hard to grow. And it's just something I've always it's really just kind of come easy for me to go out and do the best I can. And if it doesn't work out, you know, I know that it's nobody's fault but mine. But when you go out and you work and you prepare and you play as hard as you can every day, it's when stuff doesn't go right, it's easier to sleep at night knowing that you prepared, you put yourself in the best situation, and sometimes it's just not gonna execute, not gonna make the play, not gonna get the hit, and I'm okay with that as long as I continue to work and put myself in the right position to be successful.
How often does your family actually get to come out to the games? I guess that's not something I ask someone very often, but I'm sure you appreciate any time they're out. How often do they get to see you play?
As much as they can. Pittsburgh was one of the closer places for them. It was a six and a half hour drive. So they drove up, and my dad is working remotely now since the university's not really. He works in the athletic department at Wake Forest, and they're not really allowed to go back in to the office. So he's able to work remotely, and it's great for him because he really enjoys, as well as my mom, they really enjoy watching me play, and they don't mind traveling. So whenever they can make a trip, they're going to make a trip. His birthday's coming up, actually, in a couple of days, and they were talking about coming out to Kansas City this week, but I don't know if they're going to or not.
He's
probably find that out.
He's probably not listening to that right now. What'd you get him for his birthday?
I got the idea from Greg Holland, actually. There's these stupid little things called cuddle clones. And so my parents have two golden retrievers that they are just all about. They're all about their dogs. And so I got him a golf head, a driver head cover of my favorite of the two dogs.
Okay.
The girl dog, her name's Casey. We actually got her when I was drafted, and they named her Casey because I was drafted by Kansas City, actually. So I sent in a bunch of pictures, and they do a good job from Greg's head cover. It looks a lot like his dog, so I got him one of those. I don't think it's going to be in time, but they'll get a kick out of that.
We're talking to Whit Merrifield. It's the Whit Merrifield Show every Monday at 11 here on Cody and Gold. Tonight, I know fans are fired up. Not only are you guys coming back from a successful road trip to start a big homestand, but Daniel Lynch gets the call up, his debut tonight. What are debuts like for you guys in the clubhouse? I mean, I know what our level of excitement is. What's it like for you as a teammate?
You feel the energy. You really do. Whenever somebody gets called up, whether it be position player-wise, pitcher-wise, starting pitcher-wise especially, you feel that energy. You feel that I don't want to say rejuvenation because we're in a really good spot right now as a team, but, you know, there's that freshness to it. There's almost like a youth aspect when a young guy comes up and makes his debut that it just gets your juices flowing a little bit more than say, a normal game would. So we're fired up for Daniel. He's obviously a great talent and hoping that he just settles in out there and pitches his game and realizes that all he's got to do is execute his plan, pitch his pitches, and he'll be just fine. He doesn't have to do any more than he needs to. So we're excited to play behind him and look forward to a good outing tonight.
How much have you seen him on an individual level? Obviously, last year he was away from the club because everyone was kind of separated. But a little bit in spring training, like you say, he's a really good talent. How much have you seen his stuff, I guess, while standing in the batter's box with?
I've never faced him.
Okay.
I've never faced him. I'm not a big fan of live BPs. There's no benefit, in my opinion, for a hitter in live BP. So I don't really stand in on guys much, but playing behind him a lot, I mean, you can just see his stuff. You see people being overmatched by his fastball and looking silly on his off-speed pitches. So he can command the zone, be in the strike zone, throw strikes, and mix his pitches up. I really like our chances when he's on the mound.
Have you, Whit, by chance, seen what number he's going to wear? I happen to know that, like, sometimes with debuts it's funny because, like, for Hunter Dozier, for instance, he'll forever have a giant framed piece of his jersey from when he made his debut, but it's number 60. It's not a good baseball number. Is Lynch going to at least get a good number for tonight?
I didn't realize that about Doge. That's funny. I'll have to bring it up. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to get. I don't know what's available. I don't know. I have no idea. I was fortunate that Davy, Jeff Davenport, our travel secretary, gave me a great number from the get-go. I got 15 right out of the gate, and I didn't have to change. So I don't know. I was never asked what number I wanted, and I don't know anyone that has actually requested a number. So we'll see what he gets. We'll see what's available. He's a left-handed pitcher, so I'm thinking, like, if I had to guess, like, it's going to be bad if I say a number that someone has. don't repeat this. But I'd say, like, I'm going to say, like, 45. Sounds about right. Is that somebody's number? I hope not.
That's Duffy's old number. So you got to think that at least, you know, he's in 30 now. So you got to think that you're in good shape.
That's why I was a lefty. Yeah. I'm saying 45 is what he gets.
They're just going to go lefty to lefty with the same number. I kind of appreciate that. Speaking of Danny Duffy, by the way, Whit, I know that you guys are close, and he's close to a lot of people inside of that clubhouse. How different does he look to you, I guess, from a stuff standpoint? Like, I know as an individual, he just seems like he's put everything together and all there. Is his stuff different, or is it just the way he's throwing it this year to kind of equate to the start he's had for you guys?
There's a lot of different aspects that have made Duff as successful as he is this year. He's in a really awesome place mentally off the field, which is helping him worry about baseball when he's at the park. And that's huge for Duff, and it's huge for us. And Duff's such an incredible guy, such a thoughtful and passionate human being. That it's so great to see him doing so well and just being the Duff that we know he is. And like I said, I'm not going to get into what, you know, personal stuff, but he's in an awesome place right now, and we love it when he pitches. His stuff is incredible, and he's got a great game plan. He and Salvi execute a great game plan. He's pitching, and he's flashing up some 96s. I even saw a couple 97s a couple starts ago, so that's always fun to see, too.
Yeah, we looked 45. You're good. You're safe on number 45. We looked on the active roster right now. Although
in fairness, I was wrong. Duffy was 41, and I was thinking he had 45 early, but he had a different number. So who knows? We'll find out soon enough, right?
That's right. If it's 45, I deserve a prize.
I'll be honest, though. We've been looking around town. Yesterday, I spent way too much time in the energy drink aisle at the store. We still need to hook up on the sunshine stuff because we were trying to find it, Whit, and we saw you tag this on Instagram as well. No luck. We need some help.
No luck at the Hy-V?
Not on the Kansas side, at least. We got to figure it out.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe the Missouri side. I'm not sure which Hy-V is that, but that was what I was told. I was told Hy-V.
We'll try. We'll try again. We wanted to give you at least a proper review this week, but we were unable to do so.
That's all right. We got plenty of Mondays left.
Plenty of money. Exactly. What I did want to ask you one more about, just since you're back at the K, we get to hear your walk-up music again. How carefully do you cultivate that decision? I just wanted to know how long it takes you to decide on what walk-up music you're going to go with.
There's some thought that goes into it. Yeah, there's some thought, and you know, it goes down to a final four or five, and then there's a vote, and then, you know, you try it in front of your peers, and it's a long process to get the right walkout song. So I'm pretty happy with mine right now. It's been I kind of like it, but we'll see how long it lasts. I usually go about half a year and then find something different, a little different genre than my walkout songs usually are. Usually they're like old school kind of hip hop, like 90s, 2000s, early 2000s hip hop. This year it's not so. But it's all right.
The Whit Merrifield Show every Monday here at 11 on Cody and Gold. Whit, appreciate it as always, man. We'll see you out there tonight.
Yeah, see you guys.
There you go. Whit Merrifield, presented by Victory Chrysler, Dodge Jeep, Ram.com, the ultimate in stress-free car shopping. So Kyle Zimmer's 45, but he's on the aisle, so that's why I wasn't showing up.
Whoops,
on the aisle.
So it's not going to be 45.
Can't be 45. It cannot be 45 tonight for one Daniel Lynch.
And we did our best. It's hard to remember everyone's numbers. And then some people's numbers change. Like Duffy was 41, and now he's switched again. So it's fine. It won't be 45. It will be something in the 40s, presumably. Maybe he'll take 41. Maybe he'll take the opposite of that end.
Isn't Santana 41, though?
Yep, he is. Okay, boy, there are a lot of choices. Boy, it's too much to track. Everyone's number changes every year. You want to take a guess at what you think his number's going to be?
Something's going to tell me that in about 3 hours, the Royals will tweet out the number for one Daniel Lynch.
Mike Swanson assuredly will post a photo inside his locker with the number he's wearing. That used to be the thing we used to go get the second the clubhouse would open, right? You'd go in there and see what number that he was going to wear. But because clubhouses aren't open like normal, that will not be made available to us. I'm going to go with, God, in the 40s feels right. 40? I don't know. I'm done guessing.
I just don't know what numbers are. I'd have to look up. He's 52 is what he wore down at AAA at one point. Like, it lists him as his page on the Minor League Baseball website.
52?
Daniel Lynch number 52 Omar Chase.
They're currently at 52?
That's what it says on here.
Okay. Well, 52 it is.
So keep that in mind. I don't know if that's choice or what. But there you go. We'll find out. Daniel Lynch's debut tonight.
I just think it's funny. It's not even about the number he's going to wear. It's just like sometimes they give you... Typically, it's the level of prospect you are. If you're a bad prospect or like you're not as big, they just like give you a whatever number sometimes. Or you were in the minors for a long time or not even a bad prospect. Hunter Dozier was a first round pick. But sometimes they're just like, look, here's a number, man, wear it. So like when they win, just a little inside, they give you this big, huge frame thing, sort of. Your jersey, your debut, a baseball from it, your name.
Only if they win?
No. Just like if you make your debut, they give you this whole big frame thing the team does. They do that for you. It's like a gesture. Dozier's is 60. It's a bad baseball number. It's not the number he's worn really for any length of time in the majors. It was just the jersey number he wore for his debut. So the whole big frame thing's got the wrong number on it.
So Witt said he had never heard of anyone requesting a number. They don't do that in baseball. You just get whatever you get.
I've heard... No, look, Witt's in a major league clubhouse, so it's hard for me to refute his position on this. I have heard
I'm going to trust him.
That occasionally they do you the favor of saying, hey, yo, what number do you want? And then I think sometimes they're just like, here's a number.
I guess if the number's available.
Like, Nicky Lopez wasn't going to wear one. They were going to give him a different number. I'm confident of this. Like, they had sent out a photo where it looked like his number was going to be different. Like, it was being reported his number wasn't going to be one. And then we got in there, the number was one. I feel like there's some movement in this. Let's put it that way. 52 for Lynch, let's hope. That's a good number.
We'll keep an eye on that tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Vern's On Deck show at 6 o'clock. Royals Indians tonight. And yes, the debut of Daniel Lynch. Can't wait to head out to Kauffman Stadium for that one. We'll talk more about Daniel Lynch and just the road to get to the big leagues and what they've seen from him in the minors with J.J. Pecola, Royals assistant GM. He's going to join us coming up at 12:30. We are 15 minutes away also from the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But pro football focus with the draft, everybody does their grades and everything, and I think we went through in the 10 o'clock hour and said, hey, this is a draft that was impressive, and this is really good for Curtis Browns, or this is good for the Baltimore Ravens, or whatever it may be. But there's also the massive overreaction to suddenly saying a team is a Super Bowl contender. That's what I'm talking about from Mike Renner over at Pro Football Focus. So he tweeted out over the weekend that, in his opinion, there are three teams whose draft classes vaulted them into being legit Super Bowl contenders this season. The three he listed were the Browns, the Dolphins, and everyone's favorite offseason team, the LA Chargers. Because we see that team get brought up over and over. My biggest problem with the list is the Dolphins. It makes zero sense to me. He's not saying a playoff contender or division contender. Super Bowl contenders. You cannot be a Super Bowl contender if there's still an unknown at quarterback. Is there an unknown at quarterback in Miami? The answer is yes. They know who's starting, but there's an unknown.
I at least know who Baker Mayfield is and can surround the rest of my thought about that team.
We know more about
Justin. To make
Justin
a determination about them.
Like, I disagree with the Chargers one, but at least we know their quarterback is Justin Herbert, and he had a fantastic rookie season. But they're an unknown. It's the Chargers. They're in the AFC West. They still got to deal with Mahomes. So let alone being a Super Bowl contender, they may not win their division. Probably not going to win their division because the Chiefs are going to win it. So that's my issue with two of the teams on the list. I'll give Serta the Browns. There's a chance they absolutely can win the AFC North this year. The Dolphins, I don't see them winning the AFC East. They had to deal with the Bills, who won it a year ago. The Jets are improved. The Patriots are improved. Good luck. The Chargers, you got the Chiefs. So you can't be telling me you're a Super Bowl contender if it's almost very unlikely that you win your own division.
If any of those teams landed Aaron Rodgers, sure. Let's have a conversation. But no, the Dolphins cannot be considered a Super Bowl threat because you don't know. Not now. Not yet. They have a better defense. They have a really good defense. It's a top 10 defense, probably a top 5 realistically. If they get the pass rush help, I think. If they get the pass rush production, I think they're capable of getting. But we can't take them all that serious in that department.
Adding Waddle and Will Fuller, you'd expect their offense to take a step forward. I do think the Dolphins...
If Fuller plays...
And you know I'm down on the Bills. I think the Bills are overhyped. Like, I think we think that Josh Allen's going to continue to do what he did last season, and I have to see that consistency first because I don't think they've gotten that much better as a team.
Yes,
I think the Dolphins can easily win this division. Super Bowl contender might be a stretch, but I think they can easily win that division and be the best team in the AFC East.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a different conversation though than what he's saying. He's saying Super Bowl contender. I mean, I what you just said about Josh Allen though, you said, hey, you don't think he can be consistent. I've at least seen it. I mean, I'm not extremely, but I've seen it. You've
seen the top end.
If you're going to tell me that you need to see more from Josh Allen, then what on earth do you need to see from Tua? Because there's been nothing there from him. 1 week, he was carried by his defense last year, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick had to bail his ass out.
He did. But the Dolphins, like, and that's the thing. They were a playoff team under normal circumstances. Now, there were, you know, extra playoff teams, and they still didn't make it. So that tells you that they're still a little bit behind on where you were. Allen, do I know he's going to be this level of a starter again? No. I've seen 1 year where he was putting up some supreme numbers, right?
Fine, yeah.
Top 5 quarterback numbers. And if you can at least do that in a single year, it's the same reason you would say, are the Ravens a Super Bowl contender, sir? The answer would be yes to that because they have good surrounding pieces around it, and they have a guy who's capable of winning an MVP. Josh Allen has proven that he's at least capable of finishing the top 3 of the MVP, so I do at least put him in that list. Miami, the only thing is I just know nothing about Tua. Zero. I feel like I got through an entire year last year, and because they started Ryan Fitzpatrick half the time, I don't know.
Well, the reason I question Josh Allen is because he had statistically the biggest jump that we've ever seen season over season that any quarterback has ever made, and we've seen quarterbacks do things like that before, like Matt Ryan winning an MVP when he's been a pretty consistent quarterback. He's never consistently been like a top 3 quarterback or anything like that, or Carson Wentz or Derek Carr had MVP caliber seasons, but then we've seen that was the peak. That was the best it's ever going to be. And so I feel like they're banking on Josh Allen really consistently being that, and I'm not sold there. And so yeah, I do like the Dolphins' chances a lot. I think the Jets, while they're doing a lot of good stuff, I still think the Dolphins are a better football team right now, with the question marks that Tua has.
They are better than the Jets. They're a better overall team. They're more of a Super Bowl threat than the Jets, but the Jets, we're not even entering them into the conversation as being a Super Bowl threat because they have no chance to be that.
No, I just think that my issue with the Dolphins, other than what we just discussed with Tua, is that division, I think, is going to be quite a bit improved because... Say what we will about the Jets, they're not a 2-win team or 3-win team anymore.
No, but they might be in a 5-win team.
Okay, but there's 3 wins. Or I mean, there's, you know, that's the issue.
Two of those likely come in the division,
and I know they're set. We always got to change the numbers anyway.
Okay, so instead of a 2-win team, so like, a 6-win team.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's weird because normally, like, oh, there's no way the Jets could win 6 this year. They actually might because there's an extra game. Yeah, but no,
I don't know their Vegas over under.
The Dolphins will be in the mix. In that division, absolutely. There's no way they're a Super Bowl contender.
He is right about the Browns, though.
I've warmed up to them because they had a draft. I think they might be the third best team in the division because I think the Ravens quit the second they traded Orlando Brown to the Chiefs. Like, I'm convinced they don't think. Like, I know that they're going to tell you they do, and they're going to say it out loud. But if you, like, forced them to take truth serum, they'd be like, we can't beat Kansas City. And then they traded a left tackle to him, solving their only
problem.
Who
was talking like that?
That's how you talk in truth serum in movies. You always talk like slightly different than your normal self, right? Sort of back me up in this. You never talk like your normal self anytime it's like that.
Yeah, because you're drugged up.
Yeah. So, you know, I was doing a weird voice. Okay. So to try to overemphasize it.
Haven't you seen The Matrix?
I have. Years ago. I was obsessed with that. I had the Matrix video game. And
that game
terrible.
Sucked.
It was. It really
God,
was.
That game was
it
awful.
Was awful. It really was.
I don't think I ever played it.
It was
on
no
original
good.
Xbox.
It was impossible.
That was the issue. I got stuck probably, I don't know, 45 minutes into the game.
Just like one of those games like I'm never going to beat. I'm never going to try to go back and beat it either. But
also, we were talking about numbers with Witt. I think I figured it out for Daniel Lynch tonight.
You think it's 52?
So here's one of two things. So he's 52 in AAA with the Storm Chasers.
Okay.
His Twitter account is DanielLynch_25 or whatever. So that's the reverse of 52. So his number, he could.
So maybe somebody already had 25.
Nobody on the 40 man, my quick search, looks like they even have. So I went like broad with this just to make sure. I don't see anybody with 25.
I like it.
So,
by the way, for the people who give us a hard time about not knowing the numbers, even Witt didn't know his number.
Yeah.
So it's hard to keep track of
numbers. I don't feel bad about that at all. So 52 or 25. And his Twitter handle, I'm wondering if 25 wasn't available last year.
Be surprised if we got 45, because that's Zimmer's number.
Yeah, but that would be a problem.
It'd be surprising.
25 or 52? I'll go 25. Although, I know he's been wearing 52 in the minors, but I'll go 25. His Twitter handle has 25 in it. Clearly, that's a number he likes.
That's a good
And he's a number two prospect in the system. I got nothing against
25 as a baseball number, by the way.
It's solid. Keep your guesses coming in on the text line. If you actually guess it right, then maybe we'll give you a Coding Gold t-shirt or something. 913-576.
One of you who correctly guesses it.
That's it. That's right. We'll just pick the one. Nobody's texted in 25 or 52, so you might want to do that. Coming
so
up.
You might want to do that. By the way, if I go back and check that you've texted in like 8 numbers, you're out.
We can easily see that, by the way.
Like, we can just click through your name and see how many times you've texted.
All right, coming up in 90 seconds, Serta's got a fantasy flash. We'll also get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and one area that's clear the Chiefs feel more confident in than maybe we do as fans.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Again, 1 hour from now, we'll talk with J.J. Piccolo, Royal Assistant General Manager, about Daniel Lynch, who makes his MLB debut tonight. And now everybody has texted in number 25. So nobody's done 52. You want to cover your bases. Someone else needs to do 52.
Flip it. This is Gold's prediction. It's not always right. It's not like he wins every bet he makes.
No, we didn't. We all bet on the Derby on Saturday. We all lost money on the Derby.
I lost the least. Yeah. I had a $25 bet on it.
Sir and I lost almost the same amount of money. Undisclosed amounts.
I just told you what I lost. Why are you so embarrassed by it? I lost $25.
I lost $48.
$60.
Damn. Tough living. So we
I
all
had two
lost.
Of the three on a trifecta, which gets you exactly $0.
I had the winner, Soup and Sandwich, outright. I had Soup and Sandwich outright to win.
Your horse, you by the way, I was laughing off as it
happened.
Off to
a good start.
Yeah, it was.
Good start for Soup and Sandwich.
As we were watching, I was talking to somebody else, and like the problem was your horse got off to too good of a start. It was never going to make, like, it was...
It too good of a start. What the hell is that supposed to be?
Yeah, it used it all
up.
Oh,
you just do too good.
Correct.
Just too good of a horse.
Correct. It was out in front too early. That's actually exactly what happens sometimes.
I know that's how it works.
Sometimes a horse that's in fourth or fifth
is in a
prime spot.
Sometimes
a
horse is in first right away and wins still.
Medina Spirit.
That happens.
Was looking good.
Sometimes a horse is just good right away and wins the whole thing. Not in this case.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we were wondering throughout the draft, and would they address the wide receiver position? They would later in the draft, but certainly didn't do it with the first two picks in the second round. They go linebacker and center. We talked about that, and we will some more. But overall, were you surprised that it didn't happen, that the wide receiver position essentially wasn't addressed? Like the wide receiver that they get out of Clemson and Powell, he's a special teamer and maybe develops into something, but nobody's expecting
here. It's possible.
In year one. So that just tells you about the faith that they have, right? And Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson, but specifically Mecole Hardman getting more of an opportunity. I know we talk about Travis Kelce. He's essentially the number two wide receiver of this team. You're talking about Hill and Kelce having over 1,000 yards receiving. So you don't need Mecole Hardman to be a 1,000-yard receiver. Not many teams have 3,000-yard receivers, all right? But they're relying that Mecole Hardman is going to become an even better player here in year three of his time in the National Football League, clearly, because otherwise they would have drafted one. And I think what's interesting is we know, though, that they didn't feel great about it because they tried to go and get Juju Smith-Schuster as well. And that, unfortunately, they just didn't work out at the end. So like it wasn't as if they were all in at that point. This is just their best option because there's nobody else in free agency.
There's not, and I don't think they're going to pursue that. I think the wide receiver unit you're looking at is the wide receiver unit, because the only way to get better at this stage is to trade, like go for Julio Jones. And you don't have to go for Julio Jones. It could be a wide receiver below that level of wide receiver. But that's the only way to get better now. And at first, my thought was like, come on, man, why are we doing this? Because the fear is there's two parts of this. It's fine if you stay healthy. There you go. There it is. There's part one. It is a big problem if you don't. Because the guys who have been getting hurt have not been the Tyreek Hills and have not been the Travis Kelce's. They occasionally get... Kelce never misses time. That makes you feel better. Tyreek Hill usually misses a little bit of time. As correctly pointed out by Kent Swanson, they played 7 games last season without Sammy Watkins. So that would be without the guy they didn't replace here in the X. They just didn't replace Sammy Watkins. They're just going to live their lives without it. In those 7 games, they averaged 33 points a game and were 7-0. I think that's probably what the Chiefs are looking at here. They're saying, yes, in logic, we do need an X wide receiver, but we have proven to win without that. And if we're going to invest resources somewhere, it's going to not be there. So believe it or not, despite the fact I wanted them to take a wide receiver in the second round and address that position right away, I would have been fine if they had spent some of their free agency dollars on guys like Juju Smith-Schuster or others. I'm also actually okay that they didn't solve the wide receiver 2 problem this offseason, because I think they can survive it for this year, assuming health. Now, boy, if Tyreek Hill goes down in week 3, we got a problem. Because I don't know who you're going to throw to every day other than force-feed Travis Kelce.
A couple people on the text line say, hey, there's 17 games this year, so is it unreasonable to expect that there could be 3,000-yard receivers just because you're going to have the extra game? And I guess there's that possibility. Look, Mecole Hardman gets anywhere near 1,000 yards this year. That assuming, again, Tyreek Hill stays healthy, if he's also healthy and that happens, then we're talking about Patrick Mahomes possibly having another MVP-type season. If you just think about the numbers, that means that offense might be putting up. I see someone from the 816 say, hey, Veach, don't forget, guys, this morning – and you heard it during Fesco in the morning, said that there's some free agent contracts in the works to look for him soon. Yeah, I just don't see it at wide receiver, at least nothing significant. What free agent wide receiver, honestly, text in, please.
Do you think it's upgrade?
What free agent wide receiver do you think actually helps this team at this point in time?
DeAnthony Thomas is out there.
Why would you even say that name?
There's nobody.
It's ugly. It's gross.
Nobody, there's nobody left.
It's gross. There's nobody. So, unless Tim Patrick, maybe. But I'm pretty sure he got tendered by the Broncos.
Also, it was like a month ago we had this conversation.
And back
like
then.
And the fifth best available wide receiver then was DeMarcus Robinson. So, like, did it get better? I didn't know it? I guess you could bank on surprise roster savings cut guy, September. You want to play that game?
But that's not, the text is referencing what Veach said this morning, which was
when he said soon.
Soon. That's what you're talking about could happen.
I assume soon is Bashaud Breeland.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's why I have
soon is, you know, isn't that what you assumed when he said that?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's still out there.
Justin
nobody's,
Houston.
Nobody.
Maybe not him, but I would like him.
Ingram's still out there, too, just as far as yep. pass rushers. Yeah, those are the type. I'm with you. Those are the type. And certainly Breland, you know, I've been on board with bringing him back on a one-year deal since the offseason really started. And it became clear that he wasn't going to get a multi-year anywhere else. And so I think overall, you know, if you're going through and looking about how they approach the draft, yeah, I think cornerback's definitely another area that here in free agency, Bashaud Breland makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah, Bashaud Breland's still out there. Richard Sherman, Casey Hayward, Jason McCourty. There's a lot of talented veteran cornerbacks still on the market.
Here are the available free agents as listed by Spotrac as far as, like, you know, probably amount they've earned in their life, but how okay. they do it. Larry Fitzgerald, who I assume is going to retire.
Yeah, if not, he'll go find a way back in Arizona for nothing, but yeah.
The corpse of Golden Tate. Julian Edelman's even more
retired.
Dead corpse. He retired, technically. Yeah, although guys retire in place.
But he's done. He's done.
Danny, yeah, he retired. Here, I sent a TV deal.
Danny Amendola. Cody Core? Is anybody familiar with him?
Who?
He's the next person listed on this list.
Corey what?
No idea.
Cody Core, he's listed right next to Demaria Bird, who at least
if
I'm
I don't know
with.
Who he is as a wide receiver, then he's
Cody
really
Core
good.
Is a free agent,
Dwayne
was a
Harris,
sixth round pick in 2016. He's 27.
Dez Bryant,
really good special team.
Tavon Austin.
Tavon Austin was 2013.
Josh Gordon, Laquan Treadwell. If you're just dying for that, like, is this
yeah,
the
so
toe?
That's
is this
thing.
The toe you want to dip your the water you want to dip your toe in? Because I'm gonna think no. Like, to me, it's just they made their decision and I'm okay with it. Like, I know sometimes we question a decision. I think they might have made the wrong decision. And that eventually will be like, I can't tell you if they're going to, in the end, have made the right decision. But I actually think they did okay with this one. I can question a lot of things. I want them to take a wide receiver. I was clamoring for it in the second round. I want them to take a free agent guy. I want them to take one in the first round last year. Based on the way this played out, based on the statistics, they're strong in their stance of, we can survive this and solve other things like offensive line instead. They're strong in that positioning. And they think, look, by the way, they're just better at wide receiver by being better protected with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
and that's fair.
Give Mecole Hardman, give DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle more time to get through their routes if you're going to have this wall in front of Patrick Mahomes that we haven't seen him have so far in his career. As good as Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz were when they were healthy, there's a chance in a year or so we're going to be saying that this offensive line is one of the top tier lines in all the football. I don't think we can say it heading into week one, but I think this time next year we might be talking about the Chiefs having a top five offensive line. If Niang turns out to be what they think he is, and then I believe Creed Humphrey is going to be a long-term pro in this league at center, and then we know what they have on the left side of the offensive line in Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney, who's one of the best guards.
We all assume they're going to sign Orlando Brown, so they got 5 years pretty much locked up between those two.
And at minimum, they should have two because they could always tag them.
Sure. Yeah, two minimum. They're good for at least 3 or 4 years, I think, at that position. And by the way, if they let Orlando Brown go, that probably tells me they're big believers in Niang. Like, because they're not going to just walk on him just to do it. No, I feel okay about their decision to walk away from wide receiver. It does mean we have to assume Mecole Hardman is expected to have a bigger role.
He's going to have every chance possible this year to shine.
We're talking about make or break. This is essentially contract year time. It's not full-blown contract
year. But it's year three.
It's precipice.
It's year three of a second-round pick, and this is why next offseason, are we going to be sitting here next offseason saying they need to address wide receiver again? And I do think they will be probably interested yet again in Juju Smith-Schuster, depending on the type of deal it needs.
Absolutely.
And are we going to be talking about them in the first round and you didn't go after a wide receiver? I mean, I think all that is still in play for next offseason. They didn't do anything to solve the long-term at wide receiver.
No, it also means Tyreek Hill's extension is all that more important because otherwise you're replacing even more.
No question.
Not that I ever thought they were walking on Tyreek Hill, by the way.
And it also depends, and look, it seems weird to say this given the fact that Travis Kelce had his best season ever at age 31, but like, what is Travis Kelce this year? Assuming he continues to play at, you know, that near that level, then you feel fine. But let's say there was at all a drop-off here this year, then it puts even more stress on what you're going to do at wide receiver. Because right now, you've got the luxury of not only having a top five wide receiver in Tyreek Hill, but you have the best tight end in football who you can obviously line up in the slot as well. And so you kind of been able to not worry as much about who the number two actual wide receiver
because
is.
Because Kelce lines up out there sometimes.
So if for some reason Kelce didn't have a good season, again, no reason to believe that this is going to happen.
There's just way for that to happen.
But if
race.
He didn't, then it would put that much more pressure on next offseason at the wide receiver position again. So we'll worry about those problems after 2021.
The problem is, are they good for this year? A a Super Bowl contending team, are they good enough at that position to win a Super Bowl? Yes. And they got a lot better in a lot of other areas, so I'll take the trade-off at least at that end.
Now, what do the experts say about the Chiefs draft? We just told you, and we were talking about this 2 second-round picks, and I love the center pick. I don't hate the linebacker selection as much as some. I think they found two guys that are going to be in the league for a while, and the bust potential to me is pretty low on both the second-round picks. So, basically, there's a compilation of, 18 different draft experts. And if you're looking at the average grade for the Chiefs, overall they came in and were great on the middle of the pack. 14th best draft is where they came out on. If you go off of these so-called experts here, they got a 3.3 rating. If you're going from a GPA, if you're going from A's and all the way to an F, just like you would in high school or whatever.
It's a real C average.
Yeah. So they're
get degrees, right?
And that's right. And not everybody is, again, you're not all going to have A grades on any given team. That's not possible. They were the middle of the road team overall. The highest grade essentially was an A-. If you're wondering where Mel Kiper, for example, gave the Chiefs, he gave them a B. From the other big names that are out there, he was certainly the biggest of the bunch. But we're going to talk to a draft expert coming up at 1 o'clock today as well about how he viewed the Chiefs and the rest of the division as well. Trevor Sikkema, he's a senior reporter for NFL Draft Network and hosts a podcast. We'll get his perspective on that. Look, I think that the draft overall for the Chiefs and look the grades, and you pointed out before the show, grades are always funny because there were plenty of draft grades that gave the Chiefs a C for the Mahomes pick, and he's the best quarterback in football now. So keep that in mind. And look, none of us know long term how any of these things are going to turn out. I just feel like the Chiefs pick in the second round, and call them not aggressive or conservative based on position or
they
not.
They took value.
They went for value, and to me, they prevented a lot of bust potential. Like I think these are just solid guys. I don't think either is going to be a star in the league, but I think you have at center for 10 years in Creed Humphrey, and I think Nick Bolton's going to be a pro for a long time in this league.
Look, if you're right and these are 10-year players, then they crushed it. Like if you get a 10-year starter in the second round, you absolutely crushed it.
I think that's what Humphrey is going
to
be.
With center, I really kind of trust, I guess, their ability to evaluate that position. That's part of the reason I would agree with you that I think he's going to be in the league that long. Like, I do think that might be an 8 to 10 year pro in the league because I trust their evaluation at center. They've done, I don't know if anybody knows this, but the Chiefs might be, if you're like, hey, what's every organization evaluate the best? Center might be it for the Chiefs. They just roll them out every year, seemingly have no problems. Constantly bring in guys who are starters in the league. The next best might be kicker, sadly. They're incredible kicker. They got like four guys that kick for them that are still in the league. That's impressive.
Yeah, thinking of centers, congrats to Tim Grunhardt, too, who was inducted or will be inducted this year for the Chiefs Ring of Honor and the Chiefs Hall of Fame. Thinking about centers, he wasn't a first-round pick by any means, and you know, he obviously turned out to have an unbelievable career in Kansas City.
Yeah, congrats to Grunny. It's just a matter of, like, that's a position they evaluate really well. I think that's a fair way to grade them. The thing is, I think they did better in the later rounds. Like, I once again, like, I'm fine with the picks they made in the second round. Again, I'm not high on Bolden. I'm very meh about it because of the position, not the player. I don't know that linebacker is the position I would have targeted in the second round in this year's draft, considering the things I think they needed this year. But the rest of the draft, I thought they found good value at it. Like, if you're going to find a kid out of Clemson who's not the speediest, kind of a bigger wide receiver who did have, like, you know, almost 900 yards receiving for Clemson last year in a, you know, once again, national title contending year, who only has 1 year of production, right? The other 2 years, he wasn't a good wide receiver. He was just a guy. Had a big year with the best quarterback in the entire country. Okay, fine. I'll take a chance on that guy. You find an offensive lineman who, because of injury stuff, gets shoved down as far as he did. Most people think he's a mid-round
Trey
talent.
Smith, yeah.
He's a third-round talent, but he had massive health concerns. And if you're concerned about those things, then you're fine. You take that guy in the sixth and you take your chance because you might get a starter in the sixth round. If you find, yeah, like when you find LDT and he starts for you for 4 years in the sixth round, you have hit. Like it's the later rounds that I feel really good about what Kansas City did. That's why I think most of the pundits think that they did fine.
Well,
maybe
also,
not amazing, but fine.
Yeah, I mean, like there's later rounds, there's just less, you know, the pressure's eased off there. I mean, the expectation is so much different too. I think that helps in a lot of cases. But yeah, Trey Smith, the question is health for him. He's the guard out of Tennessee, 6'6", 331, brings some size to that offensive line.
Big.
And so, yeah, you'll see how that develops going forward. And he, you know, suddenly you talk about training camp and normally everybody when we'll get to St. Joe and everything and camp battles and all that. The camp battles for maybe not the sexy position, but for offensive line, is pretty awesome if you consider what they're going to have at right guard in the camp battle there, and even at center with
right
Humphrey
tackle too.
And right tackle and Rimmers and who has the leg up. I think you still would say
technically Rimmers would probably be in the right guard competition.
Yeah, they have a lot of flexibility on the offensive line. I mean, there's going to, you know, from being in a position not too long ago where we were talking about, oh, is Nick Allegretti going to be your need to be a starter at center or guard or whatever and all that, or is Wiley, to now those guys are in competition for a roster spot. I mean, you start to build some depth. It's amazing the turnaround they've made on this offensive line. They went after it in as big of a way possible. I don't remember seeing a contender, a team that was in a Super Bowl for two straight years and won one of them, attack a position quite the way and a problem quite the way Brett Veach and company have. I mean, they identified it, as we all did, and then they went out and they went all in on it, which was fun to see.
That revamp, it's completely overhauled. Like, maybe no position group of all time. And normally, if it were all free agent signings, I'd be like, this can't be good. Right? Like, if you just, like, spend all your money free agency, I'd be like, Like, how often is just, like, completely trying to fix a problem through throwing money at it worked? And I'd say, not very often, but they did it a variety of ways. They traded draft picks for a known commodity in Orlando Brown, who is young, not going to be cheap for very much longer, but young and talented. They signed a right guard and right tackle in Rimmers and in Kyle Long, who, like, Rimmers was in the building, so you're familiar with him and comfortable. Kyle Long, who's coming off there, so taking a little bit of a chance, but a guy who's played good on the offensive line. You've got a drafted guy from 2 years ago in Niang. You got a drafted center in this year. It's like they attacked it a lot of different ways, which gives me a little more faith that it'll actually work.
And okay. And when I look at the draft grades, I also laugh a little bit because I'm like, hopefully you're factoring the fact, as far as I'm concerned, the Chiefs with their first pick in the draft got a starting left tackle.
They don't factor that in.
I do.
And by the way, feel better knowing that. They thought they had the 14th best draft and they didn't even have a first round pick.
Yeah.
Like, if you factor that in, they probably had a top 10 draft overall.
That's when everybody was talking about
it works, but we'll know more in 3 years.
And when everybody's talking about the AFC West and how good of a draft the Chargers had, which I do think the Chargers had a good draft, and people are looking at what the Ravens did and all these other teams, and I'm like, and they're like, oh, they're closing the gap on Kansas City. Maybe so. Time will tell. But
what if Rashad Bateman is just Hollywood Brown again and can't play?
Well, it's that, but it's also like, that was after, by the way, those tweets were coming after round one. I'm like, as if the Chiefs didn't improve as well. The Chiefs round one pick at pick 32 was Orlando Brown Jr. You traded for him, but that was your first round pick. That's what you got. I don't know, out of the offensive linemen, we'll find out how good all those rookie old linemen are and Penei Sewell and everything, but the Chiefs got a known commodity with pick 31. It was as simple as that. Now, I don't know why you were spending the weekend looking at message boards and Facebook groups, because that's a dangerous place to go, man.
In fairness, somebody shared it. I don't remember who now, but somebody shared it. I wasn't on a Chiefs Facebook message group, but because, you know, it's a draft and people are reacting. I am worried about the mental health of the people over on the Chiefs Facebook page. Would you like to hear the...
Is this the official Chiefs page?
Or
just one of those fan groups?
No, just a fan group that has many followers.
Okay.
Like hundreds of thousands of people in it, right? So this is an open discourse, right? There's plenty of people who can chime in with whatever questions they might have. The reason why I'm worried about the mental health, and if you are a regular Facebook user who gets on the Chiefs message boards, if you need help, seek it. Like, I'm dead serious. This was a real question asked by a real person, not being sarcastic in there. The question was, now that the Chiefs have drafted tight end Noah Gray, what do you think a reasonable trade package would look like for Travis Kelce? Are you okay? On what planet did you watch any Chiefs football over the last decade and think to yourself, now that they took a fifth round tight end who I had never heard of from Duke, what do you think we could get back for Travis Kelce?
There's no way they were serious.
What are we doing?
There's
dead,
no way.
They were dead serious.
What were the, please tell me people.
George Kittle was a fifth round pick, so this guy must be the next George Kittle.
That's right.
My God.
What were the replies like?
Well, they were not kind to that person. They were saying, hey, you know, I thought maybe it's a little more sure at that position. We can move on. Why would you think that? Are you okay? I'm worried if you're happy enough in life. Because if you're thinking, if your first response is to Noah Duke's in town, let's get rid of Travis Kelce, what's wrong with
Noah Gray?
Noah Gray. Not from Duke. From Duke.
Tight ends don't really generate a lot of return, so might as well just hang on to the Hall of Famer.
Unbelievable.
What would you even get back in return?
I mean, if you maybe one late first round pick.
Kelce, what would you get back in return?
Trying to remember what the Seahawks gave up for Jimmy Graham. They traded for Jimmy Graham at peak Jimmy Graham and did not get a good return on their investment at all. I remember like the Lions were offering up one first round pick for Gronk, and Belichick tried to do it, and Gronk was just like, no, I'm going to retire if you trade me.
And that was pretty close to peak Gronk. He got a Jimmy Graham and a fourth to Seattle for a first round pick and center Max Unger. That was the swap.
That was peak Jimmy Graham, and Max Unger was the better
Could
part
you
of that deal.
Giving up Travis Kelce for one first?
Nah, that was like Jim, that was Jimmy Graham off of
and
like an
center?
18 touchdown season or something.
Like, who even thinks of these hypotheticals? Man. Like, how, like, where why. Are you mentally that you have even considered this as a possibility? Like, it's different when I wake up this morning and, like, right, we know that Daniel Lynch is going to make his major league debut tonight. And people are like, well, it should have been Keller they DFA'd. You're like, whoa, dial it back. Did you say DFA? Like, not even the people who go as far as to say, like send him to the bullpen, which is also ludicrous, or send him down, which is also crazy, but just cut him. Like, this person tried to trade Travis Kelce because they took Noah Gray.
Graham's been bad since he left the Saints.
Awful, man. Like, he got hurt a lot.
I'm not surprised by a lot. People get hyped up. Fan is short for fanatic, and here, you know, this is what happens.
I'm just worried about people's mental health. I'm not even worried about that. I'm just worried about their mental health.
Coming up next, we get to
you're
the noon hour.
You're in a dark place if you're thinking those things.
And we'll get into what's trending. We'll also give you a chance to win a lottery prize pack from the Kansas Lottery and a chance to qualify for a sweet staycation with an evening stay at Hotel Indigo in KC. And we'll talk more about Daniel Lynch and his debut tonight.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.